For years, I was so fed up with shampoo, I just stopped washing my hair. I quit completely. I was so sick of poofy, frizzy, limp hair, distorting my natural oils. Until a few months ago, I found Modern Mammals, and it changed everything. And by the way, right now you can visit modernmammals.com and use code LSS for 10% off. So check that out. So look, I heard about this through the podcast, and before I agreed to advertise, they sent it to me, and I was reluctant. But let me tell you, I should not have been. This stuff is absolutely magical. My hair felt better, smelled way better, and most importantly, looked better. And I know it will do the same for you as well. It doesn't have those hair-ruining chemicals like other products, and it doesn't leave any leftover residues. It works. Don't believe me? Go read their awesome reviews online as well. Go to modernmammals.com and use code LSS for 10% off. Again, that's modernmammals.com for 10% off with promo code LSS. Don't forget to use our promo code LSS so they know we sent you.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to another edition of the podcast, Lead Singer Syndrome. I am your host, as always, Shane Told, and I bring you conversations that I have with other lead singers from all genres, all walks of life, all eras. If you sing in a band, you can be on the show. That's the beauty of this thing. And this guest really should need no introduction. Absolute pop punk legends, Tony Lovato of Mest. Wow. What a career. Some craziness has happened. And now, more recently, things have settled down a little bit. And we've got a new single. We got a new album coming, which we get to in this. And also lots of tour dates. So Mest is back again. And it's cool because this has always been a band a little bit under the radar. You know, they were kind of like in the shadow of Good Charlotte and Simple Plan and those bands that were in the pop punk genre selling, you know, millions of records, and Mest was right there, like right behind them, but never quite got there. However, still had great hardcore fan base and still at it almost 30 years later. Pretty wild. We get into that and a whole bunch more with Tony from Mest. But first, let's talk about some show business, I guess. Well, not really show business, but podcast business. It's been great the last few weeks. Shout out to my producer, Kevin, for absolutely killing it, getting some awesome, awesome guests on the show. Go back and listen to some of the really, really great conversations I've had. Shout out to Josh, my editor, for making this mic sound super crispy. And shout out to everybody in the All Access Club. My sinners, I love you. I miss you. You know, a lot of times when I'm on tour, I see people, you know, every day and I say what's up and we, you know, we go out for pizza or whatever. But I haven't seen anybody because I've been making a new record with Silverstein in the studio here for the last month, and which has been great also. But shout out to all my sinners worldwide. And if you want to check out the All Access Club, this is what keeps this show coming at you week after week, the support from everybody that's a part of it. for as little as $6 a month. It gets you in. It gets you bonus content, merchandise, and more, and also part of our community, our little our little family that we have on Facebook and Discord, etc. So check it out. The link is leadsingersyndrome.com/allaccess. And yeah, we got a Sinnerfest coming up too. I'm excited. Can't wait for that. It's coming up quick too. June, really soon. Reno, Nevada, baby. Can't wait. But yes, check out the link. Become a member. Support the show. leadsingersyndrome.com/allaccess. That's about it. I think we should get into it. This is a great one. Here is my conversation with Tony Lovato up next. Up on the rooftop, listening to punk rock. Nobody believed us, this could be a one shot. That was all we had. The nights that we wasted got us through the days that seemed never ending. Always in our heads, but we just didn't care. No, we just didn't care. Yo, Tony, what's up, man?
How you doing, man?
Hey, yeah, pretty good. Thanks for doing this.
Absolutely, man. Sorry, I was like literally just texting Kubios, my publicist guy, and I was like, wait, he calls me Rex. I'm like, it's been hectic as shit lately, and I'm always like just fucking missing shit and like can't keep five kids and shit. So it's like keeping everything in order. And I'm like, wait, did I fuck this up? Am I supposed to call him? I'm like,
no. You're perfect, man. I call you and you just, I don't know. We spout some bullshit and it's over in about 45 minutes. It's really, really easy. You don't have to worry about anything. This is awesome. This might be the most relaxing part of your day. You know what I mean? That's what I'm aiming for. Like, I know you're a busy guy. Family life, dad life,
yeah,
and the band is like on fire right now. So busy, so much coming up. It's exciting.
Yeah, it's definitely the interviews are the easy stuff because it's like I'm like, all right, like I literally just woke up with my daughter and I was like, all right, I'm like, give it to the wife. I normally do breakfast and I was like, all right, here, I'm like, I gotta do this. So here, take the baby. I gotta go.
It's all good. Well, I appreciate you. I appreciate your time, man.
Sure.
Safe to say, man, Mess is back. It's cool. I mean, I know the last record came out at a very unfortunate time. Masquerade, and you couldn't really have the, I don't want to say comeback, but you know what I mean? Like that really nothing worked out. And now it's like, okay, you got the new single out. You know, you've got a big European tour coming up, lots of stuff. New video looks great, by the way.
Thanks, man.
And it's kind of, it must feel like, you know, everything's kind of coming together maybe again.
It does feel that way. And it's crazy because it was exactly what you said. Like it was a lot of work on my end. You know, a lot of people don't see or understand what happens behind the scenes of stuff when you're in a band and all the work that goes into it. Like the first time fans or people know about new music is if they see something online where it's like, oh, new video or new single. And like, maybe that's when they're like literally years of preparation before that moment.
Right.
There's so much shit that goes into it, you know? And that's how it was with Masquerade. There was, I mean, years of writing and like figuring out if I was even going to put out another record. And it sort of just all unfolded when the pandemic happened. Cause it was years of writing. I recorded that record I demoed it first and then had all the songs pretty much recorded, then re-recorded them mm-hmm. with Cameron. I was in the studio for 3 months.
Yeah.
We toured extensively in 2019. And it's like, okay, record's coming out 2020, January, like let's prepare for the next year, like set everything up and then watched the news and sat on the couch like, what the fuck is happening? You know? So it is exciting this time around where there was just that point where I sort of had to like accept that that is what happened and sort of just go, okay, you know, this ain't the first time Mest has had a hard situation. Like we've always been the underdog. We've always had to like, it's weird. Like when people are like, why haven't you guys done the When We Were Young Fest yet? I'm like, same reason that, you know, it took a couple of years to get Warped Tour and whatever, maybe like,
right.
It's always been like, we're always like the last ones picked.
Always and the bridesmaid, like, never the bride, right?
Absolutely. And I just like, my concept of it is like, I'm okay with that. Like, because then when we get our chance, it's always like we're almost more determined and more prepared for whatever the situation is.
Yeah.
And so with this record, it was just one of those things where I'm like, I got to bite the bullet and just go, you know what? Like, we have to move on from this. Like, it is what it is. And I've been in this band for coming up on 30 years now. So it just became a thing where I was like, okay, let's fucking reevaluate everything and started writing songs. And the songs just, every song I wrote, it was like, fuck, that's like the first song we wrote. I'm like, okay, well, we wrote the single for the record, so that's cool. And I'm like, never going to write another song as good as that one. Next song, I'm like, fuck, that's better than that one. And you keep doing it, and it's just like, fuck, dude, like, every song on this record could be a representation of the band or a single. Like, obviously, we don't do singles like radio, shit like that, but,
right,
you know, you want to represent the record in a way. And it just came out, and like, but, and then we were done with the record. And all of a sudden, I'm just like, now what? You know? And we filmed that first video in December of like 2022 and just put it out.
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, and everybody's always wondering, like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Like, they think I'm just like sitting around, like, going to Disneyland with my kids and shit, like hanging out, like, which I do that a lot. Yesterday.
Yes. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. But, you know, like, you have to, for a band like us, we have to make sure every little duck is in a row before we put something out so that, you know, we can continue the career and continue to the best of our ability doing what we do at its highest level, like for what our band gets, you know? So like, it was just a lot of preparation. And like, we don't have a manager, didn't have a booking agent until a year ago.
Wow.
So it's like, you know, you literally, I mean, I sell merch from my house. It goes to my, you know, like I do every merch orders out of my house and shit. So like, you know, it's just a lot of preparation to be able to just to put out a record, you know? So I don't know. It's people get mad online and they're like, well, yeah, we saw this fucking clip, you know, 2 years ago. And I'm like, yeah, we're older, man. I move slower now. Things take longer.
Well, 2023 was a big year. That was a busy year. You did a lot of shows.
Yeah.
You kind of went everywhere. You know, you made up for 2020 a little bit.
Yeah. That, and again, but it was like, I think there was like PTSD from that, right? Because like, we had this record done. 2023, we do a good amount of touring. And I'm like, okay, 2024, we'll release the record. I'm like, but shit, last time we did it was 2019 to 2020. And I'm like, calling my agent, like, okay, I don't even want to announce that the record's coming out. I don't want to have a release date for a single until I know we have something lined up. Because we have to tour on these records. We can't rely on TikTok, you know? I don't have, you know, a million followers on TikTok and shouldn't have kids, you know, from my era writing me songs, writing my records, you know, like a lot of these new artists do. And so it was like, I had to like make sure that we had shows coming up so I could promote, you know? So
yeah,
the cards are slowly falling into place and everything seems to be working now. And so I'm just going to keep releasing. We have a bunch of shit still recorded, writing.
Yeah.
So like, we're just going to keep it coming out, you know, the new way of doing it, I guess.
Absolutely. I mean, you seem like so, like, we've never spoken before. You seem so level-headed, you know, so well prepared and planned. And now, you know, you're basically self-managing the band. It seems like a real far cry from the stories I heard about when you guys were younger, just how like crazy and chaotic and everything it was.
Yeah.
You've really grown up.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But, you know, I always like, life lessons are best learned, not told. Like, I can't tell somebody like, hey, I've done this. I wouldn't, you know, I could suggest a life lesson to somebody, but I don't think you really learn it until you go through it. And we were crazy as fuck, dude. Like, we, like, all the stories you heard, that was, I mean, but I feel like I did it at the appropriate time as like a young kid in his early 20s. Like, you know, I got kicked out of school when I was 15 and then got signed when I was 19. And never had to work a day. Like, I was on the road from that point on. And it was almost encouraged by the label. Like, the label, even though it was technically, a major label, was Maverick Warner Brothers. They didn't give a fuck. Like, the more stupid shit we did, they were okay with it. Like, we never got backlash from them. So it was like, and I also, the band was, the first chapter, the original lineup of the band, like, when we started 30 years ago was my cousin, who obviously I've known my entire life, my brother originally, and then after me and him didn't get along, the Oasis style shit, had somebody else come in, known the drummer since I was 15, and then every person that worked with us was my one of my best friends that either lived with me or lived across the street. So we were the best friends in a group traveling. You know, if we were at home, if we weren't on the road, we were at home hanging out.
Right.
So you keep that group of people together and it's just like, you know, you're just out having the time of your life. So like we did crazy, stupid shit, you know, and, and looking back, I, you know, it's not that I took anything for granted because I think I understood the situation, but you know, you're 20 years old, like your fucking frontal lobe's not even done yet. So you're doing stupid shit, you know, like that's just how it is, you know? And I see kids doing stuff in their early 20s, like, you know, better in bands. And I'm like, I look at them fondly and I'm like, yeah, they're at where they're doing what they're supposed to do right now. You know, like that's part of it. And hopefully they make it to 43 years old and still on stage playing songs, you know, like some don't.
Yeah. It's crazy, right? How you kind of never think it's going to be you that's going to do that. You know what I mean? And then you do that.
For sure.
And then you look at the younger generation and you go, ah, there's no way that's ever going to happen. It's like, you know, I think about, you know, hardcore bands and stuff like that. It's like, there were no hardcore bands that had been together for 30 years. It was like you put out two records and you break up.
Right.
You know, that was like the game plan. So people don't always think about longevity, you know, when they're at that age, because whatever music they're working on or genre they're in at the time, it's like a new trend. It's something hot. It's, you know, you don't think it's going to be something that
for sure
people are going to be in their mid 40s being like, holy shit, like I love that fucking song. Like I love that messed record that formed who I am.
Yeah. I remember seeing in our very first contract that we signed with Maverick Mourner, and it was like the tie you down forever type of contract where it listed like all the option periods. And then it listed like a greatest hits record. And I'm like, we're like looking at this going, what the fuck is like, we would ever put out a greatest hits record, you know? And like, you don't see that far into the future. You just don't, it doesn't comprehend in your brain. And
no.
Yeah. I mean, we're on like, I don't know. I don't even know. I think it's our eighth record. I don't fucking know. I got to count like, but yeah, I mean that it's a really cool thing to like think that I have that big of a catalog, and like that if we would do like a fan's favorite record, not a hits record, we're not that band, but you know, it's cool to be there and to be, I'm more excited about this record and I have more fun touring now. And I'm definitely more grateful for everything. Like every time we play a show, I still get nervous before we go on stage. Every show I'm like pacing around backstage and like, but the second I stand on stage, it all goes away and I'm like, ah, I'm home. Like I'm good. But I'm fucking nervous for every show because I want to perform the best. I want people to be stoked. I don't know how the crowd's going to react. You know what I mean? And like,
yeah.
Once you get on stage and they're singing the words and they're going off, I'm like, it's that moment. And I love looking down and connecting with people and like singing a couple lines and they're singing back to me. And like, I used to be so nervous back in the day and never be able to do that. I just thought it was weird to make like that direct eye contact with somebody like I was invading their space.
Yeah.
But now when you do it and like I see people in the back like singing and like I make eye contact and point somebody out, like, you know, like I remember being a kid and like at WWF and like Ultimate Warrior, I was on my brother's shoulders and he like pointed at me because I had his face on. And I was like, that moment was like iconic for me. And I'm like, I try to make those connections with people. Like, I see you. Like, this is like, I'm grateful that you're fucking here. Like, that's, you know, and nowadays, I still hang out all the time, like throughout the show, like you'll see me everywhere. And I, you know, people come up and like try to have those quick conversations. I think with the thought that like, they think they're bothering me and I'm not that guy. Like I was at Disney yesterday, my kids strapped my new one's only 3 months.
Wow.
And strapped in front of me. I let my wife take my daughter and the kids and they're on a ride and some girl comes up. She goes, hey, I know you're here with your family. I just want to say I love your band and I've seen you guys a million times. And I'm like eating like fucking ice cream, shoving it down my face. And I'm like, oh, thank you. You know, thank you. You know, and I was going to like turn and talk to her and she like already walked away. And
right. Yeah.
I'm like, no, it's cool. Like my wife, you know, the term for Punisher, obviously, right? Like,
of course. That's,
and my wife always says, she goes, you flipped the script on that shit. She goes, people come up and talk to you. She goes, and you punish the shit out of them. And I'm just like, I'm a talker. And mostly it's like, you know, like I want to hear these stories. And somebody that's seen us 25 times and been around for 25 years, you know, like, and especially like if people start talking about their kids and stuff, like you have these relatable conversations with people that you never would have had as a young kid. Like back then it was just like, you're my favorite band and I love you and blah, 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 and you're cute. No, you know, like, it's like, that was like a weird conversation to have as a kid. But like now as an adult, it's like you're having life conversations. And I genuinely enjoy those conversations.
That is so true, man. Like just the other day I was at the Blue Jays, they're my favorite baseball team. They were playing the Padres in San Diego. So I was there sitting there and there was a girl two seats over that had, you know, she had like tattoos and she looked like maybe she listened to the same bands I listened to.
Right.
And like about the eighth inning, she's like, hey, is your name Shane? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, yeah, I knew it was you, but you know, I've been, sitting here like for 3 hours, like two seats away from me,
right?
Like, you know, scared to say something. And then it's like, and then we had like a great conversation,
right?
You know, for the last inning of the ball game. And you know, it's like, I don't know. I think people respect your space as an artist,
right?
And that's great. But then also sometimes it's like, you know, it's almost more awkward, right? If people,
for sure. She probably didn't, she probably missed the whole game the whole time contemplating like, if she should say anything to you, when she should say it. And if she just would have just said hi in like the fucking first inning, it would have been a normal conversation and she probably would have enjoyed the game and not been contemplating that moment the entire fucking time.
Right?
Which is probably what she was doing. Yeah.
I know. But I get it though.
It is respectful. So I appreciate that concept. But like, I'm just a fucking friendly dude. Like, I like people. I'm not a fucking angry, mad person. I don't have an ego. I'm like, you tell me, you coming up to me in a random place and telling me I like my band, I love that. Like, that's fucking awesome. Like, that's a cool thing for me to hear. You know
there
what
you
I mean?
Go.
Like,
there
I,
you go. So if you see Tony, don't just like awkwardly stare at him and, you know, or try to take a picture of him when he's not looking. Like, just go say what's up and it's totally cool. And that goes to, that goes for like 99% of us, I'd say, you know?
For sure. Absolutely.
So yeah, no, that's really interesting. That's something we don't talk about a lot on this show at all. So that's very, very interesting. You got the new song out. I assume there's a new record coming. Can you talk about it? What's going on with
that? So we put our first single out April 11th called When We Were Young, features our good friend Jared from Bowling Pursuit. We have the second release coming out May 17th called Hate You Sober. And that features a good friend of mine, Spencer. He sings in a band called Ice Nine Kills.
Oh, cool. Wow.
Total different genre of music, obviously. But Spencer's been a... like his first show that he went to was like a Goldfinger Mesh show and he has a tattoo on his neck and he was like, that was the day I wanted to start the band and be in the band. So
yeah,
like,
I know Spencer pretty well. It's like, I know he's like way into ska and stuff. It's like not at all what you would expect.
Yeah. So he's a big fan. And so we just become really good friends over the years. He's like been to like my kids' birthday parties and shit. And my birthday party's like, I live an hour east of LA. And so he's on that song. And then a new record comes out May 31st, which is when we're in Europe. And then we're doing some, like, I guess when we come back to the States, we'll be doing like some record celebration shows, record, because it's like the record's already out.
New
record May 31st. And then obviously he's going to keep touring on it. We're working on a tour in the fall. I can't say anything about it yet, but it's with another band of the same genre, same era. It's a co-headlining thing. It's going to be fucking cool.
Nice.
But that'll be announced soon. And then we have another record ready to go. That'll be released fairly shortly after that. We're sort of doing like a triple record sort of thing. Just because it's one of those things where I didn't want to put everything out at once. And we have so much music that in this day and age, like, you know, the difference between now and back then were, you know how it was, like you'd release a record and tour on it for 2 years or so, and then write a record for a year and then release another record. Mm-hmm. it's not really that way anymore. Like some bands don't even release records anymore. It's just fucking single after single, video after video. So sort of following that format just to be able to keep, because like I said, we are self-managed. We do put out our records ourselves. We have distribution in Europe and in Japan, not here in the States. So it's just like wanting to be able to keep releasing music so that we keep touring and just keep it, you know, keep it going. I think the world has that ADHD sort of thing when it comes to music. So it's like, if you're not continuously putting stuff out, people forget that, you know, that you exist. Like, I mean, I see comments on the video for Masquerade 4 years after it came out of like a diehard fan. It's like, how did I miss this?
Right.
And well, and that just happens.
That one makes sense though. we were all going through some shit when that came out. So
true,
but I know what you mean, man. I know what you mean.
Yeah. So yeah, just new music constantly, touring, hopefully constantly. So
yeah. Well, that's awesome. Well, yes, go, you know, when the record's announced, pre-order that shit. Tony will send it to you right from his house. You know, it's
yeah,
right. That connection you have with the fans. I mean, you know, being self-managed, you know, self-releasing records. And that is like, that must be so cool when you see like the names come through on the merch orders and you're like, oh yeah. You like, you remember someone's name or from a VIP or whatever. Absolutely. That's a really, really cool connection that you know, you have now with your fan base, which you definitely don't have when you're on a major label.
For sure. I mean, when you're doing that much work, it is true. Like I legitimately see like every time we do like some sort of merch drop or we do every year, I do like a Christmas ornament. Like mostly it's like I create the Christmas ornament. I'm a huge Christmas guy. And so I started doing this like every year. We're coming up on our fourth or fifth year now where we do a Christmas ornament every year and it's like band related. And I see the names and I recognize the names every time, you know, certain names, I see it. It's like every time we do a merch drop or Christmas thing or whatever, like I see those names and I do everything out of my house and it's fucking crazy, man. Like that last record we did and I did it, I ran a Kickstarter and we raised like over like $54,000 for it. I had to package every single fucking thing and I had an assembly line and like had the kids getting involved in shit. I'm like, package some shit, do some work. Like, you know, it's a lot of fucking work, man. Like, would it be cool to like not have to worry about that? Yeah, but it pays the bills. So it's like they always ask like, you're in a band, man. Isn't that the coolest thing ever? And I'm like, absolutely. But it's not a 9-to-5. It's a fucking 24/7. I legitimately work way more than my friends that have normal jobs. Like without a doubt.
Yeah, no, there's no question. It is all day and all night.
Yeah.
So this new record that's coming out May 31st, does it have a title? And did you do it with Cameron?
I did not do it with Cameron. I did it with my buddy, Taylor Carroll. He plays drums for the band Lit.
Okay.
And he sort of jumped over and he's doing producing and songwriting and stuff like that. And he filled in for a couple tours for me in 2019. So we became really, really good friends. And record's titled Youth. And cause the whole record sort of encompasses like, it's like, I wanted to write these anthems. I don't know if I wanted to, or it just organically came where, I would be his studio that we would write at, was in Los Angeles, like in fucking Beverly Hills in this massive house. We didn't use the massive house. We used this tiny little back room that was attached to the massive house.
right.
Little spot he was renting up in the hills of like Beverly Hills. And so I live pretty far out. So I would drive there and it was a solid like hour and 20 minutes. And on those drives, it was just like me time. And so I was listening to like all the old records that I grew up listening to. And it's for inspiration. And it would always bring back memories and thoughts. And then driving through Los Angeles in those areas was where I recorded a lot of the early records when we were doing the Feldman records.
Right.
And so it was like, it would always put me back in this moment and this time and place. And it was like, and then having kids, now I've got two step kids and then three of my own. And Well, me and my wife, we do a lot of family shit. Like, I'm just a very family-oriented person. I grew up in a household where if you didn't have a mother and father, my parents took you in. And I had kids living at my house, like, permanently, and kids that just didn't have maybe the best family life, that it was our house. Like, my buddy John, I'm sort of going off track here, but my buddy Johnny, I've known him since I was 6 years old. He came out to surprise my parents and stay with me for a couple of days, and ended up doing, we had a show in Arizona, and then he was supposed to go home. And I'm like, why don't you just stay here for a week and come to Texas with us? We have to drive to Texas for the Pop Punk's Not Dead Fest. He's like, all right. So it comes with me. So I got to spend a lot of time with him this week. And one of the things he said to my parents, as he was saying his goodbyes, my dad told me this. He was talking to my dad, and he's talking about life and what's going on in his life and shit like that. And he goes, hey, I just want to say thank you for raising me. And
wow,
it was like I even get choked up thinking about it. So like, I grew up in this household full of kids, like full of misfits. And so I think as I got older and wasn't sure if I was even going to be a dad at one point, you know, like, I'm like, with the lifestyle of being in a band and stuff like that, you just don't know if that those cards are ever going to fall. And had my first son, unfortunately, me and his mom separated. We're totally good friends now. Her and my wife hang out all the time when I'm on the road, like, do shit with the kids together. She's over here like 5 days a week. Like, we all get along. Like, it's a big fucking good.
Awesome. That's great.
Working family. Yeah. So being around my kids all the time and seeing them experience things for the first time and the excitement and stuff like that, like, it just reminded me. And then, like, my son having his stepbrother, who's only a couple of years older now, and there's this big family of kids. And sort of seeing that always reminds me of, like, my youth. So writing these songs that was sort of played a role into it, where I have all these great memories as a child and growing up in the early years of being in a band and big group of friends. And so it was sort of like writing songs about those situations, but at the same time, being super excited and stoked about the current situation. And sort of like, I'm not a 43-year-old person who is like, oh, the best days are over with and those were the years. I'm like, I'm still creating memories right now and living my life to its fullest so that in 20 years from now, I can look back the same way I'm looking back now on those, you know, 20 years ago. And so that sort of found its way into a lot of these songs. And so the record being titled Youth, you know, it just sort of encompassed the whole concept of these records and these songs that I've been writing. And like, the cover's dope. The cover's a photo of my son, my stepson, and my buddy's kid. And it was from the video shoot where they played the younger versions of me, Rick Thorne and Steve Caballero.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it's just an ode to the past. I always say it's like a cheers to the past, but a here's to the future type of thing. And so pretty stoked on this. I think when people hear these songs, it's lyrically, it's the type of songs where if you're 15 hearing us for the first time, you'll get it. It'll still make sense to you. Because I feel like at any stage in your life, you can still look back a couple of years, even as a kid, and be like, you remember a certain time or whatever. And so as an adult, I wanted to write these sort of anthems that I was writing when I wrote songs like Rooftops and stuff like that. But I wanted to write stuff for people our age that get it, that still listen to music, still go to shows, are at a different stage in their life, but appreciate the past, but are still living a life. Like, that's sort of what was in my brain as I was writing a lot of these songs. So
absolutely. So when you're driving to the studio, you know, to record these songs and work on them, and, you know, you got like an hour and a half or whatever you said the drive was, did you find yourself turning back to the same records when you wrote, you know, all those messed classic songs? Was it the same records that influenced you? Like, or were there any records that you kind of rediscovered that you were like, oh my God, I haven't listened to this in forever, and I just like, this record still blows me away?
I'm still like the guy that listens to everything that you grew up listening to, but yeah, you definitely like, if you do like the algorithm playlist on Spotify, like, it's cool because it does, there's a lot of songs or records that you forget about because there's so fucking many.
Yeah.
But I mean, there wasn't anything specifically, but it was just letting those old records play over and over again. And where you get reminded of how much you loved those records. And like, it was definitely stuff that I listened to as I wrote these records, and then stuff that was obviously coming out when those records were being released. But it was just more of like putting me in that state of mind of those years and all the things. And like, and even like I said, like driving through those areas, like I hadn't been there in years. So you see a lot of things, you're like, fuck, I remember that place. Like this happened there, that happened there. It's just like, it was just putting me back in that era. Like organically, not, you know, it wasn't even like I was like purposely trying to make that happen.
Right.
But it definitely helped the situation and putting me in that time and place to be like, so when we talked about writing the record, Taylor's like, I'm like, hey, I'm like, here's the thing. I'm like, it's been a while since we put out a record. I'm like, I want to write a messed record. Like this has to be a fucking messed record. Like, I don't want, like, obviously you always want to progress as a band. And that's what I think naturally as a songwriter, you should do. But I'm like, but it has to be a mess record, dude. Like, this is what I think we need to be doing right now. I'm like, there's so many bands that are genre influenced, and I'm hearing these new records come out of some of these young kids. And I'm like, that's a mess record. I'm like, I need to be putting out a mess record. Like, that's what we were doing. You know, we did this first 30 years ago. Like, we need to do this. And Taylor is a couple years younger than me, grew up a massive mess fan. And so he understood it. Exactly what I meant. And for him, it was like, it was easy. So like, and he's a singer songwriter himself, but originally a drummer too. And that's where I come from. I was originally a drummer. So it was just really easy to get together. And like, we would start out with nothing at all. And I'd be like, well, I'm like, remember this song and that song? And I'm like, this was always really cool. And this was always really cool. And we would start fucking on and playing riffs on guitar and stuff. And all of a sudden, like something would just stick. And then we would just start building around it. And within like 12 to 16 hours, all of a sudden we'd have a complete song. And I've never really done that before, because I always wrote by myself. Like, it was just like, just the way I did it. So it was a dangerous, weird, like definite different thing for me to write with somebody. And, but it just worked because he was such a fan. He was helping me write messed songs, you know, like it made sense to him.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, I've had the same thing. I written so many songs just by myself, and I've recently done a lot more co-writes and stuff, a lot with people I don't know. And you're right. It is like a scary thing, because it's kind of like, you know, I don't know. It's like letting someone into that space isn't easy.
Talking weird, right?
And it is weird. And then, but also I don't know about you, but there's been so many songs in my life that I've like started writing, and they've been like, I've been like, okay, there's something here. And then, I don't know, you just hit a wall
and you get stuck.
And then, I don't know, you just like go downstairs and make a sandwich, and then it's just gone forever.
Yep.
You know? And it's like, and then you never have it back. Right. Or if you're trying to get it back, but it's not the same. And then, you know, it doesn't work. But when you have that other person there, and especially if it's somebody that, like, you know, you're not in a band with, just someone else, sometimes you can really unlock something in you, you know, that kind of motivates. It's motivating.
100%. It is a weird thing where it's like, and it's also like, I've written so many songs in my life, and I know so many songs that when you start writing, it's hard to be like, to make sure you're not singing the melody of, you're like, oh, well, it's this song, and this song. And all of a sudden you're like, fuck, that melody is so close to this. Like, what the fuck? Like, it's hard to get out of that world. And like you said, it's true though. When you let somebody else in and you've sort of like hit that wall, dude, we bounce ideas off of each other so quickly. And that was the easy part. So I'd have something and he'd be like, that's cool. What about this? And he would change a little bit. And I'm like, well, I like this part of it, but let's do this. Okay. And it was like that fucking ping pong shit makes it so easy to write stuff if you're comfortable with letting somebody into that spot. Cause I never have been. And, you know, I'm always like, this is my world. This is my diary. I have, you know what I mean? And it was like writing so much and having so many records, I was like, I need to try something new. Like, it made it actually exciting again. It was fun to write this record. And it was like, it was letting go of that, you know, and going into that unfamiliar territory. It is really fucking, it is cool, but you got to be able to let go and do it. Like, it was scary as fuck. Like, I didn't know what was going to happen, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, earlier in your career working with John Feldman, I mean, he signing you essentially, right? And taking you under his wing. I mean, I've never made a record with John Feldman. I've talked to him a couple times briefly, but I don't know him. But I've heard he's just kind of a maniac with writing and producing and everything. Like, he's like, you know, really, really fast. Is that the experience you had?
Yeah, I do think that has heightened from the stories I've heard.
Okay.
Or maybe we just got used to it. But because we were still also, it was his early days of producing. We were like the second band that he started working with ever.
Right.
And me being a young, hard-headed kid, I was like, well, this song's done already. And he's like, yeah, but it could be better. And I'm like, but it's done. You know, and I had spent so much time on these songs that
right.
it was hard for me to let go in those moments. So there was a lot of headbutting between me and him. I think it was creative tension, and it made for the best anyways. And I was like, well, we're paying you to produce, not write our songs. And I remember, like, even through those years, like, we wrote all of our songs. He didn't write our songs. Like, a couple songs were like, if he helped out with a bridge, there'd be like a little bit of songwriting credit here and there. But the songs were our songs. And I remember hearing stories all the time, like, John Feldman wrote these guys' records. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, if they had any idea the shit that I would go through, to be like, no, like, this is staying. This is what it is. Like, I already wrote this part. If you want me to write something else, I'll write something else. But,
right.
you know, like, but yeah, I mean, he works. I mean, that's just John. He's just fucking, he works fast. He works hard, works long hours, barely sleeps. Like, that is John, you know, like, and this was, and then jumping into, like, after those records, doing like the record with Cameron Webb, polar opposite, like, most laid back dude. Like,
I know Cameron well. I did two records with Cameron, so
yeah. I love Cameron. Like, that record was super fun, but at the same time, when I look at that record with Cameron, I'm like, I sort of definitely missed that, because Cameron was like, well, like, I'd be like, should I do this or should I do that? And he would go, what do you think? And I'm like,
right.
Well, I don't know. I'm like, that's why I'm asking you. Fuck, man. Like, my brain is like, I have like an OCD, ADHD. My brain is just runs a million miles an hour too. So, like, it's that part of John helped me a lot. And then that part of Cameron helped me in a way to, like, sort of pull back and just go, okay, let's do this. He's like, all right, let's do that. You know, like, two different producers, man, like, completely. But I had the best time doing that record with Cameron. He's such a fucking good dude. I love that guy.
Yeah, I love him too. Wow, dude. Well, this has been an amazing conversation. I know we talked about doing this years and years ago, but I'm kind of glad we're talking now with so much on the horizon and so much going on in your life, man. But it really sounds like this is just going to be an incredible, you know, next album cycle and everything for you.
Yeah, I sure hope so, man. It's, you know, put a lot of work into this. So, you know, hope for the best.
Absolutely, man. Well, anything else to tell the people before I let you get back to hopefully still breakfast?
Yeah, that's next on the horizon. yeah, just check out the new single when you get a chance. And I always try to explain this to people, like, for a band like us, I think for a lot of bands it helps, but, like, sharing the single, posting the song, I'm like, that helps out bands like us so much, more than I could ever think. Like, taking fucking 10 seconds to repost something, it really does help out bands like us so much. And it's usually like, if you like this type of music, you probably got friends that like this type of music. So it's like, spreading the word is just one of the best things you could do for bands to continue. If you want bands to keep making records, like, the more people that listen to these songs on Spotify and buy the records and go to shows, like, the more this music scene's gonna stay around. So it's like, you know, keep doing that and we'll keep making records, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, Mest's independent now. Tony's doing merch out of his house. You know, if you support Mess, you're supporting the band directly. So that's also awesome.
You're feeding my children.
That's right.
Feed the kids. Feed the kids.
Feed the children. I love it, Tony. Well, thanks, man. I'll leave them with the tune. When we were young, here it is on Lead Singer Syndrome, new material from Mest.
And love become our past and what was.
So there is new music from Mest, When We Were Young, not on the When We Were Young festival. I didn't ask him specifically about if that was a little jab to festival organizers for not including Mest, but I mean, they should be there. I think they should be there. Absolutely. Great song featuring Jarrett from Bowling for Soup, another friend of the show. And you heard it here first. A new song is coming with Spencer from Ice Nine Kills. That is super, super cool. And the new record Youth is out May 31st. So make sure you don't sleep on that. Go pick it up. Check out everything that Tony and the boys are doing. All right. Well, thank you so much for tuning in once again. I'll be back next week with another episode. Shout out to everybody in the All Access Club. And thank you so much for supporting this, for listening to this. I'll leave you with another tune because we got time and why not? Here it is, a classic, Rooftops, Mest on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love. See you next week.
The sun come up again. I'd do it all again if I could. So if I call, will you be there? I miss the nights we used to share. Up on the rooftop, listening to punk rock. Nobody believed us. This could be a one shot. That was all we had. The nights that we wasted got us through the days that seem never ending. Always in a haze, but we just didn't care. No, we just didn't care. The only place that we could go, staring at a world we didn't know, wondering if this was all we had. Listening to punk rock, nobody believed us. This could be a one shot. That was all we had. The night that we wasted got us through the days that seemed never ending. Always in a haze, but we just didn't care. No, we just didn't care. Nobody believed us, this could be a one shot. That was all.